Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. Today we're going to have a message from the Gospel of John. We're still in the Easter season, and so we're taking a look at some of the things that happened right after Jesus was resurrected. It's an important part of our understanding of the entirety of the Easter season. And as we like to be reminded, you know, the Easter season really never ends, because the resurrection of our Lord is a part of our faith. It's a part of everything that we do as Christians. But there are certain things that occurred immediately following his resurrection that had an impact on his disciples and prepared them for the future of his ministry that they were now entrusted to carry out. So today we will be looking at that really important scene where Jesus reinstates Peter to his rightful place as one of his key disciples. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this season of Easter, a time when we are constantly reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And as we now study his word, as we study all that there is to know about the scenes following his resurrection, as we come to better understand how he used that time to prepare his disciples, help us to remember that he is preparing us also, because we too are his disciples today. So we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. I have entitled this morning's message, "A Fresh Start." It was an early morning on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. The resurrected Jesus, who just 8 days earlier lay dead in a sealed tomb, was now preparing a campfire on the beach. After placing some fish and bread over the fire, Jesus calls out to Peter and several of the disciples who were with him. "Hey friends, catch anything?" The guys on the boat reply, "Well, we've caught nothing." All night long, they had been fishing. It's now daybreak, and it's about time to call it a day. It must have been frustrating and embarrassing to fish all day and catch nothing. They were ready to go home. Jesus says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." They throw the net over to the right side of the boat, and as they begin to retrieve it, suddenly the boat leans hard to the right. Peter yells out to the others in the boat, "Get over here and help me haul it in." They couldn't because of the large number of fish. Suddenly, amid the chaos, something clicks to the Apostle John. 3 years previously, this same thing happened to him. Peter, James, and John were all fishing and catching nothing when a popular young rabbi named Jesus joined them on the boat and encouraged them to let their nets down into deeper water. And just like this early morning, they caught so many fish that their nets began to break and the boats began to sink. On that day, afterward on the beach, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. Come, follow me." Simon Peter and John left everything and followed Jesus. And on this day, John immediately turns to Peter and says, "It's the Lord." And I love what happens next because this is exactly what we expect Peter to do. You know, Peter was a guy who leads from his heart. He's an intense and emotional person. For 8 long days, he's been wallowing in his own sense of shame, discouragement, and really his failure, because he has denied the one that he's promised that he would always be there for, the one person the one person that Peter promised he would always be loyal to him, he had denied him. And now that one person is standing only 100 yards away. Peter jumps into the water and swims ashore, leaving the other disciples to manage without him. He wanted to be near Jesus. And you know what's interesting? Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus before. Why didn't Peter have this experience the first time he saw him? Why didn't he run to Jesus then? Why now? Well, Peter's response mirrors the way that we deal with our shame. I don't think any of us would run to Jesus for forgiveness after the massive failure that Peter had. Our natural and first response to shame is to hide it or bury it or try to ignore it by going back home and going fishing. But Jesus works on us by showing up over and over again. Peter needed forgiveness. He needed to know that he was forgiven. Well, Jesus not only shows up, but he invites them all to have breakfast with him. It would be easy to gloss over their meal, but I think it's deeply significant and even spiritual. You see, by providing a net full of fish and a warm meal, Jesus reminds us that he knows our needs. He always goes ahead of us and provides for us. I think God enjoys seeing people fed. God loves to feed people physically, emotionally, socially, intellectually, and yes, of course, spiritually. That's the entire purpose of the church. We are a community of followers of Jesus getting fed by him so that we can feed others. And Peter wasn't alone eating with Jesus. Doubting Thomas was there, Nathanael, James, and John, and two others came. All young men, probably in their 20s, quietly eating and staring at the resurrected Jesus. No doubt they were thinking, wow, Jesus is alive and he truly lives. I bet they couldn't help but stare at his nail-pierced hands, amazed by the grace they received in the form of a miraculous catch of fish. They came to Jesus tired, hungry, and they were fed. A question dawned on me. What was Peter and the others doing fishing? I know that Jesus told them he'd meet them back in Galilee, so maybe they are being obedient. Maybe they were hungry. Maybe they were simply needing to go back to their old way of life. And so they were going fishing. But you know, I think it's deeper. I think they were returning to their old way of life, the way that they were going back to what they knew. They were going back to fishing. And why would they do all of that? Why do you and I do that? Well, Peter was ashamed. I'm sure he's thrilled that Jesus is alive, but what does that have to do with him now? How could Jesus ever use him again after he had denied him 3 times? You know, Peter is probably certain that he's been disqualified from being called a disciple. He figures it's all over for him, so he's going back fishing. What other options did he have? That's the business that he knew. And at this point, it's important to remember the backstory about Peter's failure. After the Last Supper, Jesus took the disciples to the Mount of Olives and told his disciples that they'd all fall away from him. But it was Peter who declared, "I will never fall away. I will never disown you, Jesus. If all of the others fall away, it won't be me." Only a few hours later, around a charcoal fire as Jesus was standing before the high priest being mocked and accused. Peter denied knowing his Lord three times, and the rooster crowed, and Peter broke down and wept. What was Peter's problem? It wasn't insincerity. Peter meant exactly what he had said that night. But when his life, when his own life was on the line, he denied Jesus. Peter was ignorant of what he was made of and what it would actually take to follow Jesus. And it's a warning for all of us. Because at our weakest, most vulnerable moments, under enough pressure, you and I cannot be sure what we would do. But thankfully, this story doesn't end with bitter tears. Now, the good news about the life of Simon Peter is that it demonstrates that failure is never fatal or final. Far from being the end, failure can be raw material for a new way of living. And that's because of the Easter story. Easter turns our failure into our greatest reason for joy. On Easter morning, the angel says something to some women who'd come to visit Jesus' tomb. They wanted to anoint his body according to custom. But instead of finding his body, they found an angel. And you know what it said to them? If we look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, it tells us, and this is what the angel said. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Did you catch those words? "But go tell his disciples." And what did he say next? "And Peter." See, the women at the tomb didn't catch the significance of those words. When they got back and told the disciples what the angel said, I don't think the disciples understood the significance of those two words either. I believe those two words sent shockwaves down one man's spine. I can see Peter staring intently into the eyes of those women and saying, "Wait a minute, did I hear you right? Did he really mention my name?" He said, "Peter?" He said, "Peter?" And Peter needed forgiveness and restoration. And that's exactly what the resurrection provides. Peter was destined for a divine appointment. And Jesus wanted to have a word with Simon Peter. Well, after breakfast, Jesus and Peter take a walk down the beach. We find out later that John was following them close behind. But on this walk, Jesus asked Peter a very intentional question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" This is a moment in time that will transform Peter's life. On this walk, Jesus, with both grace and truth, confronts Peter and speaks right into his failure. Jesus doesn't tiptoe around the issue. He's not angry. He knew what Peter was going to do. But he lovingly confronts Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's interesting to me that Jesus uses Peter's old name. Remember, Jesus had renamed him Peter, which meant rock. And now he's calling Peter by his given name. as if to emphasize his old way of life. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your life as a commercial fisherman? Do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Do you love me more than they claim to love me? Jesus is probing Peter's heart, forcing him to think about and examine his own motives. And three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" emphasizing and connecting to Peter's threefold denial of Jesus. Despite all his failures, Peter in turn says, "I love you. You of all people know that I love you." And in Peter's response, he's really asking, "Jesus, can you still use me? May I once again be your disciple?" In Peter's mind, he's blown it. He's failed. What's left for him is a life of fishing. Like Peter, many of us live with a lingering wound that has left us hesitant, unsure if Jesus can really use us. But this story teaches us the resurrection of Jesus forgives our past and restores our future. Whatever wounds we have, bring it to Jesus. Don't let anything hold us back. Jesus died for us and now lives for us. Jesus knows our whole story and all of the ways that we have and will deny him, and yet loves us anyway. And this is the power of Easter. It's more than an event. It's a person. A major question hangs over this scene. What will Jesus do with Peter now? And Jesus gives Peter two powerful words that he's heard before. "Follow me." With these words, Jesus says Peter can start again. Despite Peter's past, Jesus invites Peter to have a fresh start and a new life. He restores Peter's past, which is littered with broken promises and failed devotion. But these two words announce grace to Peter. Peter who failed is not a failure. His past is in the past because of the resurrected Jesus. Follow me is the challenge. It's a challenge that Easter presents to every one of us. So what does it mean to truly follow Jesus? Well, the resurrection is an invitation to follow him personally. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God the Father loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die in our place and for our sins. Love sent Jesus to the cross. Love brought Jesus out of the grave, and love gives us new life now. Following Jesus is not about becoming more religious or a better person. Following Jesus means that we give our entire heart, mind, and soul to him. It means embracing the suffering of the cross and the victory of the resurrection. Following Jesus means loving him as he is, not as we wish him to be. So, the question we ask today is, do we love Jesus? Well, then we need to follow him, and he'll give us a fresh start. Peter's story is a powerful reminder that we are not perfect. We will deny Jesus. But because of the resurrection, we have the power to get up, and after we are rightly redeemed by our Lord, we will continue to follow him. Like Peter, Jesus continues to invite us to follow him. The church is not a gathering of perfect people doing great things. No, the church is a gathering of forgiven sinners who, out of their love for Jesus, serve him and follow him. For all of us, Jesus asks, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And then he says, "Follow me." Amen. Friends, this morning, Alan Vest has prepared for us a great song entitled, "God Really Loves Us." It's written by David Crowder and Ben Glover. This morning, arranged and performed by Alan Vest, here is "God Really Loves Us."
Forgiveness or healing, His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our hope, the cross it has spoken. Death is no more, Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope. Hallelujah. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us. Oh, Savior is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior. What a friend, what a Savior he is.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song. God really loves us. And that really fits with the whole story of Easter. God really loves us. So friends, as we look ahead now at the week before us, let's remember that Jesus reinstated Peter even after he had denied him three times. He made Peter understand that, yes, he was still a disciple. He was still loved. And remember the words that Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Jesus says those words to us today. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.